What up, everybody? Welcome to a new installment of the Stew Pod, the Big League Stew Podcast that we do every week now on Yahoo Sports. I am Mike Oz.
And I am Chris Swick.
Chris, how you doing, man?
Oh, you know, things are going well, as usual. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You talked to Mariano Rivera this week on the phone, which means that I am the second most important phone call of your week, huh?
That's right. you are definitely number two.
Hear that, Mariano?
You didn't wake me up, so you're moving up in the world.
All right.
You're like one and a half.
Yeah, Mariano Rivera, I'll spill the beans on that. I called Chris at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know when you're retired, you just get up early and just start doing stuff, you know, super early in the morning. And probably woke up at 4 and had breakfast at like 4:30 and then called you at 5.
Yeah, it's like your grandma who always got up at 6 a.m. and you never understood as a child why that was the case.
To do phoners, man. To do phoners.
Yeah, grandma was busy.
Chris, what's going on the Big League Stew podcast this week? Tell the people.
All right, so we got kind of a nice theme going this week. We're going to look at a lot of young players, and we're going to do a little bit of a debate to start off between two youngsters. We're going to look at Joey Gallo's debut a little bit. We're going to talk about all of the young stars and, you know, talk about the young talent in the game in general. And that's going to transition nicely into the MLB draft, which is next week. So those are kind of the things we have on the docket.
You may not have known it was next week because does anybody care? Ooh, teaser.
Ooh, well, we'll talk about it. But before we get to that, let's start off with our first segment here.
Man, you did not talk about the most important segment.
Oh, man, I totally screwed that up.
Come on. So
the feature segment.
We have a roundtable this week about which players would be in the video game Baseball Hall of Fame. And a lot of people talk about baseball video games and which ones are the best. But we're specifically talking about players limited mostly to 8-bit, 16-bit world back before you could edit your players and plus up their attributes and all that kind of stuff. So we have a couple of guests in for that, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned, especially if you're a video game person, because that's going to be a very nice conversation. So now, Chris, I will uninterrupt you, and you can tell me what you were going
to
say.
Right. So allow me to recover here. Let's do our first segment, and that is Jock Peterson. We got to talk about him because yesterday he destroyed two baseballs. He hit the fifth furthest and the 10th furthest home runs of the season during the same day. So obviously he's off to a great start. On the other side, you have Chris Bryant in the National League. He was the big name before the season, and he's performed pretty well, but he hasn't been up to Peterson's standards yet. So if you had to choose a National League Rookie of the Year right now, which one of the two is it going to be?
I think it's Jock Peterson. And again, this is picking the Rookie of the Year, not which guy do you want for the long term, because that obviously could be a different thing. But I think Jock has come in there and immediately, you know, fit right in with the Dodgers. They're a very good team. They're, you know, performing well. All indications are they're going to make the postseason. He's going to be a big part of that. You know, they've lost a couple of their outfielders and haven't really felt a hit because he's been so solid. I mean, his batting average is, leaves a little. Only hitting .260, but he's hit 16 homers. You know, he's doing well. Takes a lot of walks, which is nice for somebody his age. And I think he's contributed a whole lot. Not to say Chris Bryant hasn't, but if we're talking about Rookie of the Year at this point right now, Jock Peterson.
I agree. Right now it's Jock Peterson. However, I really want to take Chris Bryant over the long haul here. When we hit October and the voting is done, I want to take Chris Bryant, but it's getting hard because obviously both guys have tremendous power. And like you said, both guys take a lot of walks and both guys strike out at kind of the same rate. And so Peterson has already kind of banked all these numbers and it's just making it hard to pick Bryant, even if he goes on this nice run in like June or July or something and matches Peterson in the power numbers, you kind of still expect similar slash lines. And I don't know, everything that Peterson's banked already, it's really tough. I guess I have to take Peterson. I don't know.
And a lot of this maybe is just right now he's been killing it. I mean, he's hit a home run in like every game this week. So you know, he's definitely like a hot right now kind of a guy. But, you know, Chris Bryant was hot for a little bit last week. He has a higher batting average. You know, he's playing well too. So it's not one of those situations where we're putting him down or either one's a bad choice. But I think it's Jock Peterson. Another guy who I think is probably maybe not going to get Rookie of the Year consideration, although after the first game, maybe, Joey Gallo. Had a really strong game, you know, in his debut. Hit a home run, which I think we all were, you know, hoping that he could hit a home run because that's sort of his trademark, and not do the Chris Bryant thing where he made us wait for like 3 weeks. And beyond that, you know, had a strong day at the plate, had 3 hits, 4 RBIs, an exciting player, I think, for a team that the Texas Rangers, you know, have lost a lot of players to injury the last couple of years, haven't really been productive at the pace that their fans had hoped. You heard and read about his first game where, you know, the fans were just sitting there waiting for each of his at-bats, and I think in his final at-bat, that's when they all took off, and it was a like 15-2 game, so there was no reason for them to be there except for, you know, to watch Joey Gallo, which, you know, from a price of admission standpoint is very good. You want a player that people are going to come and watch his every at-bat. But the question is he going to be a legit major league player, or is he going to be a, you know, guy who hits 200 and hits a lot of home runs?
Oh, such an unfair question, because the level between his ceiling and his floor is ginormous, and that's exactly why. I mean, this guy strikes out a ridiculous amount. I think 33% in Double A this season. That's not typically something that gets better as you get promoted to the majors. So I was kind of looking at this stint. They could go one of two ways. Basically, he would either mash over 15 days and kind of force the Rangers' hand to either make the decision to keep him up or send him back down, or he would be exposed by major league pitching, and that would kind of give him something to learn back in the minors. I just have no idea. I mean, I could see him settling in. I guess here's the good thing. The guy's floor is a Mark Reynolds type, and Mark Reynolds, for a while, had some value. The guy's ceiling is MVP candidate. So if he can lessen those whiffs, that's the upside. But even if he doesn't, he could still hit 40 home runs a year with a .230 batting average, and that still has plenty of value.
So what happens, do you think, if, you know, he does force their hand, he's doing so well they can't send him down? Do they trade Adrian Beltre, you think?
I don't think so. Not yet, at least. They'll probably move Gallo to the outfield. I think he's played some outfield in the minors. And, you know, the Rangers have played fairly well. They're kind of in the hunt still, so it doesn't make sense for them to deal Beltre despite his age. And the fact that Gallo could be the future at third, I think you just move him to the outfield temporarily.
You said they play. I was waiting to see if you were going to say contenders, and you said, you know, they're not out of it. We talked about them before, the Rangers. Who knows? But I'm excited about Joey Gallo. I think that he could be one of those players, again, that people come and want to watch and want to pay attention to, which I think is a bigger thing going on in the game right now. There's a lot of young players that are worth the price of admission.
Yeah, that's a tremendous segue. We already talked about Jock Peterson, Chris Bryant, Joey Gallo now playing in his first game. We haven't even mentioned Bryce Harper or Mike Trout.
And Bryce Harper's younger than all these guys still, right?
I
think he is.
You know, Gallo 21? Gallo might be younger. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we know they're on the same Little League team. So
They were on the same Little League team. In fact, Gallo is younger, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
But that doesn't take away anything from Bryce Harper, who's amazing. But yeah, you just look at kind of the young stars in the game. We just named 5 of them. I'm sure there's more. We haven't named any pitchers yet. And I was just kind of thinking about this yesterday, and I was wondering, when's the last time we've seen such an influx of young talent? Because I'm kind of thinking, like, over the last couple of years, Derek Jeter has been the face of baseball. Obviously, he's retired now. We don't really have one, and it just seems like there are so many young stars to choose from that Major League Baseball could market, including all of these guys.
Yeah, I think part of that, too, is that, you know, they all kind of came up in a time where, you know, there's a certain marketability to, you know, who they are and what they're doing and themselves as players, whereas that's probably something that wasn't happening in the past. you know, you weren't necessarily a brand or, you know, all that kind of stuff like you were. But I guess I look back at it and I tried to think of, like, what was the time I could remember this many good young players? And I think a lot of it depends on perspective. Like, to me, it's the mid-80s, you know. But a lot of that is, like, I was young, and that's when I first got into baseball. So to me, everybody seemed like they were, you know, good young players. Maybe also, like, the later 80s, like the Ken Griffey Jr. era. You know, it seemed like there was a lot of good youngsters then. But I don't feel like it's out of place to say that we're in a kind of a spot of that's just prosperous with young talent.
Yeah, I don't know if this is weird to say or not, but it feels like these are kind of the players of maybe my generation, which is probably not true, but I'm just trying to think of, like, the players I grew up watching, like Frank Thomas, or you could probably throw, like, Barry Bonds in there or something. I feel like I was too young to appreciate their first couple seasons, and so I don't know. I mean, I'm not... It's not like I'm growing up with these players, but this feels like the first batch of guys where I've seen them not only, you know, make their debuts and I'm going to see the rest of their careers, but we're just so hyper aware of all these guys that I've kind of known about these players since they were in high school almost. It's kind of amazing. Now I'm going to see that entire growth, and it just, I don't know, it feels significant to me.
I guess I would have to say, thinking about it more, I think, you know, you bring up Frank Thomas. I think it is sort of that maybe 89 to 91 type thing. I mean, you get Griffey in there, you get Frank Thomas. Well, Bonds debuted in what, 87?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so I guess just sort of that window. I mean, you know, that's a little wide, I guess, but Trout's been around for a few years now, so maybe that late 80s, early 90s. I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of guys at that point. But other than that, I mean, I think we haven't seen such a high concentration in a while.
It's exciting, man. I'm excited for it.
Which brings me to another question. With the MLB draft happening next week, will the draft ever be cool? I look at the MLB draft, and I think that it's... you know, this thing that you can really, really be into if you're, you know, super fan. But if not, I think what matters to you is the debuts. It's when Chris Bryant debuts. It's when Joey Gallo debuts. To me, those are the more important moments in baseball. And the MLB draft is sort of this, you know, seed planting moment that happens years before. And I think everyone's okay with that, and they understand that. But Chris, do you think the draft is ever going to have, you know, the excitement, the coolness, the hip factor that I'm sure baseball is hoping it can have?
Probably not. And I think it's because most sports fans tend to focus on the "what have you done for me lately" kind of
aspect. Or "what can you do for me tomorrow?"
Right, exactly. And with the baseball draft, you don't get that. You have guys who are going to be in the minors for probably 3 years unless they're a phenomenal talent like a Bryce Harper or like a Carlos Rodon, who can make an impact immediately. But that's fairly rare to see that type of talent in the MLB draft. I mean, I feel like I have more of an interest in it than most fans because I'm a nerd and I'm into that, and I watch at least the first maybe 10 picks, which is probably more than I feel like most fans are doing. But it's never going to be a spectacle like the NFL draft.
How much time, honestly, do you think you would commit to watching the MLB draft?
I guess part of it would depend on it depends on a lot of things, I guess. We were talking a little bit beforehand about the talent in this year's draft and how there's not really a clear, you know, top player. I feel like last year I had more of an interest because I knew about maybe the top three players. There was kind of a clear elite tier of guys, and so that kind of drew me in a little more. This year, I'm a little less knowledgeable because there's not this clear elite tier of players at the top. And it also depends on where my team picks. You know, the team I root for being the White Sox. You know, if they have a chance at getting one of those guys like they did last year with Rodon, I'm a little more intrigued about the whole process.
Which is kind of interesting, though, because it flies in the face of what we traditionally think with drafts, whereas, you know, if you have four guys who could go number one in the NFL and there's no clear-cut thing, I mean, that would be a huge topic for 2 weeks on Sports Talk Radio that everybody would be debating. And then the MLB draft is like, yeah, whatever.
Well, I think it's
but I think
also,
that tells you all you need to know about the MLB draft.
Yeah. I want to defend it more, but I can't. It's just, I mean, people want the immediate impact. They're able to do that with the NFL. You have these, you know, we already have these debates about Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and I don't know, 8 months from now, you're going to have somewhat of an answer on that.
Yeah.
If you and I sit here next week and debate whoever goes 1 and 2 in the MLB draft, it's going to take 4 or 5 years for us to actually get an answer as to who is right.
I think the one thing I look at and see is, you know, they moved the draft to Monday this year. And outside of when 24 was killing it, whatever good happens on a Monday, Jack Bauer, and that's it, man. There's nothing else. nothing else good happens on a Monday. I guess wrestling people could tell me raw, but for the most part, if you have something on a Monday, it's, you know, not the best audience. So the MLB draft is what it is, and not to say it's horrible. It's just something different. It's its own animal. And you know, we're gonna like when some guy with a funky name gets drafted, or you know, somebody's son who we know from being a star in the league. And you know, I think more and more we're seeing some college players who may have an immediate impact, like you mentioned, Carlos Rodon. But you know, it's baseball is such a long game and a long investment in these young players that the draft is just kind of ho hum. Sorry,
it is what it is.
So I mentioned at the top of the show how excited I am about this week's feature segment, and I hope you guys all are as well. We are talking about the best baseball game, or best video game baseball players, essentially the people you would put in the Video Game Baseball Hall of Fame. I have two friends joining us, Cardboard Icons and Bad News Ramen, and I will admit this, they're two buddies of mine. We had this debate not that long ago, or we started it at least. We were hanging out. It was before, I think, a fantasy baseball draft or something. We were at a bar, and we just started talking about this, and I'm like, man, that's a great podcast topic. So I want you guys to come on and talk about it, and we got the podcast going, and here they are. So I'm happy that we could make this happen. We are talking specifically about, you know, mostly about old-school baseball players. Nowadays, you know, it's the best baseball players in the game are the best baseball players in real life because, you know, everything's so real. But there was an era, Chris, as you know. You're a little bit younger than me, so it probably wasn't exactly the same for you. But there was an era when there was fake baseball players, you know. And they had fake names. They weren't, you know, they didn't have the real people. They didn't have real stats. But you learned to love them much like you would love, you know, a Giancarlo Stanton or Bryce Harper. And I think that's a good setup into our discussion here about the Baseball Video Game Hall of Fame. It's the Stew Pod, and we are talking classic baseball video games, and specifically classic baseball video game characters. Chris is with us, and two of my friends from the baseball blogosphere, Twitterverse, podcast land, Bad News Ramen, and Cardboard Icons. Gentlemen, I'm not going to give us any sort of phony build-up here. I'm going to say, if we're talking about baseball players that need to be in the virtual Hall of Fame, my number one pick is Pace from Bases Loaded. Dude hit 60 homers, had a .467 batting average. If you have beef with that, come at me.
Well, I think it was 67 homers. This is a Bad News Ramen, since you didn't give me the proper introduction that I need. I'm surprised that Swick is still around, seeing how I pretty much destroyed him in fantasy baseball, 13-0.
Wow. Oh. All right, we're already going with the low blows.
Hey, if you know anything about me, I'm all about the low blows. I think like Pace had like 67 home runs. I think he had like a .367 average. And I'm pretty, you kind of know where I'm coming from if I know those guys, that guy's stat line for line. It's pretty typical of my boy Mike to go with the big name, but without the execution or the actual gameplay itself.
Whoa.
Pace is probably the most overrated baseball player of all time. You slap a couple YouTube clips of him hitting a home run that your 5-year-old sister could hit with her eyes closed. You can get lucky every now and then. The best baseball player, video game wise, this is first gen and second gen, where you can't adjust a guy's stats or make him better through playing through a year or having spring training or whatever. But the best guy, same game. This kind of goes out to Cardboard Icons over more of his area. He was on Boston, and he wasn't even the best hitter on his team stat wise. This goes to Norkus. He hit 35 home runs. He had a 300 average. And he was hitting in front of a guy named Frida, who I think had like 40-some-odd home runs. Norkus, every single time that this guy got up to plate, I think over the course of playing bases loaded for probably about 2 years, I think I hit like probably – I had a 919 batting average with this guy. He always got a hit if it was either a home run or a off-the-wall double. So that's my number one pick for best baseball player of all time.
Paced forever. Paced. I do want to clarify what Bad News Robin said. We are specifically talking about kind of old school games. I'm not going to preclude anybody if they want to make a strong case for somebody outside of 8-bit and 16-bit, but essentially not guys you can improve, as he said. So just that clarification for anybody who wants to tell me how great Bryce Harper is and MLB 15 The Show. That's not what we're talking about. just because I know the people will complain, but. Anybody else have anybody you want to talk about in Bases Loaded? Because I feel like Bases Loaded is like the pinnacle of fake baseball players.
I have like a whole roster of Bases Loaded, man. I did my homework. So. but I'll let the other people, I'll let some other people come up as well. Because we talk about Bases Loaded, but there's also Super Bases Loaded for the Super Nintendo. And there's a couple of guys on there as well that I remember.
This fool is like Johnny Five of Bases Loaded right now. He's just reciting off the
Hey, don't. Hey, I think I played like 95 games of Bases Loaded. I didn't complete the whole season. I will put in one more guy as my work email goes off, so I apologize for that. But the best pitcher in the game was on the same team, and he wasn't a star either. His name was Guido. And basically what made this guy so good was that people remember Guido. But what made this guy so good was that you would in the interface of pitching is that you could, you would press down on your control pad and it'd go low, but then you could change the ball as it was being thrown. And what Guido had was you could throw, and I think Cardboard Icons, we've talked about this, which is sad unto itself, but you could throw down low with Guido and then slowly move to the left, and it looked like a ball, but it was a strike every single time. That was the best pitcher ever in any type of baseball, because you'd throw it and the guy you were playing against, whether it's a computer or a person, they couldn't hit the ball because it was a ball, but it always comes up as a strike. So there's a nice little glitch there. That was the best baseball pitcher ever as well.
So essentially you're condoning cheating. That's like the pine tar sunscreen of
it's not cheating if you can get away with it, man.
Well, I can take us outside of Bases Loaded if that's fine with everybody. You guys seem pretty passionate about this.
Do what you need to do, Chris. Bring
well,
it.
Well, I have an even better pitcher. Not even a person. We're talking Super Baseball 2020, so prepare yourself. 5 years 5 years from now, this is going to happen. John the Robot pitcher on the Metal Slashers, ERA of 0.11 over a full season. You're not going to get any better than that. I mean, I don't know how many runs he gave up. Probably like one over 500 innings. I'm not good with numbers, so I just made that up. But there you go. You're not going to beat that. And he's a robot.
I've never even played that game, Chris, so I think you're...
Well, five years from now...
I generally stay away from those games.
Was that the one that was like... Was it a Nintendo game or a Super Nintendo game where it was a bunch of robots playing? It was like kind of like the fad, like in the...
No, I think you're talking about Base Wars.
Base Wars, okay.
Yeah, no, there were two. Because like Base Wars also had robots and you fought.
Yeah, that was the big thing in there. You could fight.
But Super Baseball also had robots and you could not fight.
What system was that for?
I think it was Nintendo.
That was Sega.
I don't really know.
Yeah, 2020 was for Sega Genesis, and I generally stayed away from all those robot games, and I was more of a realist fan. So, you guys have your guys from Bases Loaded and Baseball 2020, but my guy, and this is going to sound kind of corny now, but it's going to be Jeff Bagwell from World Series Baseball, and this is before 95, so this is a 94 version. And, he just had power for days, and the thing about that game was they had the Home Run Derby, so they would count the feet. And Bagwell is always hitting them 550 every single time.
I like you had an under the radar pick. I mean, I know if you go back to like RBI baseball, you know, Ricky Henderson's really good. Reggie Jackson's really good.
Seiko is really good.
I mean, all the players are supposed to be good. So
that was the game that had the South Park guys, right, playing baseball. Is that the same game or is that a step above? Because I still remember the first baseball game was RBI Baseball and Nintendo, and that had like the major league licensing, the Players Association
yes.
licensing.
Yeah.
But it looked like Cartman up to bat.
No, that was.
Yeah, it definitely did.
No, are you talking about Major League Baseball, the one that's just called Major League Baseball? Because that's where I'm going right now. So that game, I liked that uh-huh. game because it was the same time as RBI Baseball. So the difference was RBI Baseball had real player names, but it didn't have the team names. And Major League Baseball had the team names, but it didn't have the player names. Basically, the one had the deal with the Players Association, and one had a deal with the league. So that's how they were split up. But so one of the things I liked about Major League Baseball, of course, back then in 1988, I played with the A's because you know that was the right time for the A's. I was growing up in the Bay Area, and I was all about the A's. But what stood out to me about that game was that you know while the guys that are supposed to be good were supposed to be good, Dave Henderson was the man in that game. So I think I liked Dave Henderson even more, and I liked him as a player, but I liked him even more because he was so good in that Major League Baseball game as opposed to all the other, you know, great guys on the A's. So I would nominate him for the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm going to go down that same route because that game I also have a guy on my list from that same game, and I love that game. And it's kind of funny because that game didn't have any names. It just had jersey numbers. So my guy is number 34 for the Twins.
Who is that?
Herbie Puckett was unstoppable. Yeah, he was double machine, home run, doubles machine. He was fast in the outfield, too.
I almost said that today because I was thinking about how good he was in that game, but I'm like, man, I played almost all the time with the A's. I hit 6 home runs in one game with Dave Henderson. That's the thing that like stands out to me about that game. So I always ride with Hindu on that one.
I'd make a case that Hindu, even in real life, was probably the best player on that team. Everybody forgets about that guy, but Hindu, I mean, you talk to any A's fan, and, you know, if you bring up Canseco or you bring up McGuire, they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. But the second you bring up Hindu, people are jumping off the roof and going crazy for that guy.
I would say if we're going to nominate real players, you have to do Ken Griffey Jr. from Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball.
Hey, man, that was mine. I was going to say that.
So overpowered, that guy.
He was so good. I mean, and you have to be that good when it's your game, right? I mean, you have to be. But he was even good considering that. So that's my spiel. Chris, go ahead. Say what you want to say.
Well,
but
I
just had to say that I was going to say that too.
That was also an issue with the licensing, right? Because he was the only named player in that game. Everyone else was kind of made up. So like Ken Griffey Jr. had to be the greatest player in the game because he was the only real life player.
But I knew who they all were. So I knew that,
right.
In that lineup, I'm like, all right. Because that Mariners team was great, man. They had Jay Buhner was also really, really good in that game. I remember I tried to play an entire season because this is back when you couldn't save it, so you just had to hope that you had your season going and you didn't accidentally hit the Super Nintendo wrong one day and just erase everything, which happened to me at least 6 times. One summer I was like, I'm going to play the whole season out. I want to see how many homers I can hit with Griffey, and I think I'd get up to like 40 or so by July or August, and I'd be feeling good, and I'd wipe the whole thing out by, hitting it wrong. So, but definitely Griffey was one of my dudes.
Yeah, I never really got around to that Griffey game. I thought it was, because I don't know, everybody loved Griffey, and I didn't like Griffey that much. Believing a kid in the 90s didn't like Griffey, but that guy just bothered me the wrong way, and then I looked at the game, and I was like, ah, nah, that's all right. So then I went back to Super Bases Loaded, and I'll do a nice little professional segue that I'm known for. But that was on the Super Nintendo, and there was 2 guys on that team. So you got to imagine me opening up Super Bases Loaded, going to Boston, and there's no Norcus. I mean, I was crushed. I did not know what to do.
He got busted for PEDs, kicked out of the league.
Yeah, he got kicked out of the league, yeah. And he was probably known as Super Strongman for the Ken Griffey baseball or something. But so I had to find a new team, and I was playing. I used to play with my best friend all the time, and this is when we were in college. And we had some helpers in college every now and then. I'm not going to say what we did, but he had this one team, and the guy's name was Mojica, and this guy probably hit like 42 home runs, and was just whenever I'd pitch against this guy, he would take me out of the park. So this was like during the Chris Berman days. So Last of the Mohicans was a really big movie. So we used to say like Last of the Mojica. And then, but the player that I liked is this guy. He didn't have great numbers. I think he probably hit like 238, had like 12 home runs, maybe 45 RBIs. But his name was Fens, and the guy was just a slap punch and Judy hitter, and he'd always get you a base hit that would give you like the winning RBI. And the best thing about this guy was because Mike would probably know this, but who did that song "What About Your Friends"?
TLC,
yeah. So whenever we get like this like little single, you know, I'd bust out the song. I'd be like, "What about your fans? Are they gonna be around?" We do like the whole song, you know, while this guy was on bass. So fans just for the popularity of that song, and me actually singing it, doing my singing voice on my public persona through the podcast of here. That guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame right there. So the name was Fens.
I think Bad News Ramen deserves to be in the Bases Loaded Fanboy Hall of Fame.
Well, that's not even my favorite baseball game. So. we have parameters on this. Don't get me started about Baseball Stars. I do have some guys from Baseball Stars too. The game's called Baseball Stars.
People
too.
Love Baseball Stars, man. So I say go with it.
Yeah.
Baseball Stars.
So this isn't Baseball Stars. The one for Nintendo had, you know, it had some Japanese teams that had like, you know, some would be named after Godzilla. But the real greatness of that game is you could create your own players. And I'm not going to talk about this game too much, but technically it was the best baseball game around. I'd have about three or four teams, and they'd all be named after, Golden Age rappers from the East Coast and the West Coast. So I'd have, like, you know, MCs and DJs as my teams and stuff. But
I hope one was Guru.
Oh, Guru was my best player, so I would put him in my Hall of Fame, but nobody would understand why. But there was a baseball Baseball Stars 2 made by SNK that I actually started playing a couple years ago when the virtual console became a reality for the Wii. Because when you're old like me, you can't spend a lot of money on video games, so you kind of have to find some good games while you buy video game consoles for your kids. But Baseball Stars 2 was an older game. And there's two players on there. One guy for hitter, his name was Alien, and he was just this big dude that could hit a ton of home runs. And I did my research. But the guy, you know, crazy gaudy numbers. You know, probably like a 368, 385 hitter, hit like, you know, 54 home runs or 45 home runs. And then the pitcher was named Hayabusa. And me being a Japanese guy, I need a Japanese player in there. So Hayabusa was a pitcher, could go about 7 or 8 innings, which was really important in that type of game, because it's the same thing as Mike, as you had when you had that summer where you were trying to beat a whole season. You'd have to beat a season all in one shot, and you'd have to do like 5 or 4 game series for each one. So having a pitcher that could go 8 or 9 innings, and he would have dominant stuff in the beginning, and then if you're a really good pitcher, if you knew how to do the pitching system really well, you could still pitch this guy on like 40% or 30% stamina, and you could still get the job done. So those two guys get in my Hall of Fame as well.
Chris, you told me today you were going to send this thing off the rails. Was that your robot guys, or what else do you got?
Oh, well, I was going to take it beyond 8 and 16-bit because I'm a rebel like that. So feel like we have to mention John Dowd from MVP 05, which is the greatest baseball game of all time. It's Barry Bonds, the fake player that they made in his place. He was awesome. And then no one's going to bring this one up, but I would like to nominate Donkey Kong from Mario Superstar Baseball, which is an underrated game. And the thing about Donkey Kong that makes him so dominant, he's the only player that doesn't need a bat. He just punches the ball so hard that he hits home runs. So I'm putting him in. I don't care what you guys say. He's going in.
I think it's good that Donkey Kong gets a chance to be a good guy, though. You know, he's always a bad guy, so good for him.
Well, I was going to say Yoshi, but I think Donkey Kong deserves to be in there instead of Yoshi. So that was a good pull there, Chris.
Yoshi's was my second pick, man. He's the ideal leadoff man.
See, I knew I liked this guy. See, disagree to everything I say, and we'll get along fine.
I have no idea. I have no idea when it came out. It was actually a computer game, not a console game, but. I think that Pablo Sanchez from Backyard Baseball, he's one of those guys that I think a lot of people, especially maybe younger than us, will recognize as being a stud of video games. I think he's also like 6 years old, so he's obviously on something, some insane human growth hormone or something. But he's a guy that I think deserves some attention in the video game baseball Hall of Fame. If you go look him up on YouTube, there are people that do, you know, crazy narrated videos about Pablo Sanchez and how great he was. Probably better than Pablo Sandoval these days.
Well, that's a hanging curveball thrown out to Ben right there. Ben, do you have someone else or what?
Yeah, again, I stuck to the real baseball games with the real players, And my guy is going to be Randy Johnson from World Series 95. And Randy Johnson was a strikeout guy in real life, but in this game, it was the same thing with every batter. Inside one, low and outside two, high and outside three. It was 27 strikeouts every game.
He was sending me videos today of this game, so I know he's not lying. Like, he's just texting me and telling me to go check his Facebook page for all this stuff. So, Ben, or Cardboard Icons,
it's a great
excuse
game.
Me. Sorry to bust out your secret identity. He's all about that game.
Yeah.
Oh, I would add one more, just kind of a wide berth here. Any knuckleball pitcher in a game should probably go in, because it was just hell to play against them if, like, your buddy picked Tim Wakefield and then your timing was just screwed up the whole game.
Yeah. Those were, like, for anyone that was on regular baseball or RBI baseball for NES. Throw a fastball, then push the up button. You know, throw a sinker that just goes right in the dirt.
Gentlemen, I'm gonna make the last call here on nominations for the Virtual Baseball Hall of Fame. People can, of course, tweet at us and tell us that we're wrong, or leave comments, or add any additional people if they like. In a nice way, that would be actually wonderful. But last call, who do you got? I, Bad News Ramen, I'm sure you got somebody else on your list.
Yeah, I saved this one for last. This was before all of your times. You guys were, I don't even know if Swick was alive back then. But
probably
I know that Ben and, Cardboard Icons and Mike were probably in diapers. It was the number 7 hitter on the pink team for Intellivision Baseball. That guy could get, I mean, when you were down like 16 to 13 and you needed a rally, and it would always be, and I don't know if people know about this game, but it was it's probably the first video game that had actual talking in it, where the guy, the umpire, what he was famous for is he would just go, "You're out," and you go, "You're out." So I would just play that game for that. But this guy, he would start like four inning rallies. Like, I remember my uncle, rest in peace, he would play it with me, and he'd be beating me like, you know, 10 to 7 or something like that. And then the number 7 hitter would come up, start a little slapping up happy rally. I could steal with him, you know, and get my uncle to start sweating over probably like a 2-bit video game. Not a 2-bit like in bad, but actual like 2 bits of memory, and he would start a rally, and I'd win like 11-10. So number 7, pink baseball player for Intellivision. That guy was in it.
I think that's a good spot where we can wind this down. Everybody knows Chris and I, of course, hopefully, but I want the rest of you guys to be able to plug who you are, what you do, your other ventures. I know Bad News Ramen has a podcast. Cardboard Icons does a number of baseball related things, so guys, go ahead and just tell the people where they can find you elsewhere.
Well, Ben should probably go first because he can't follow me, so Ben, you go first.
Hey, you're probably right. Well, I run blog cardboardicons.com. It's kind of an intermittent thing I do on my side job, but one of the things I do is I'm a big sports car collector, and I do write a column for Beckett. It's in there every month, Beckett Baseball. If you have any baseball card related questions and whatnot, just send them my way. I'll make sure to get an answer for it.
And I'm a Bad News Ramen. I can vouch for Cardboard Icons. My best friend, his dad had a crazy monster baseball collection, and Cardboard Icons was able to pretty much put a number toll on it, which was nuts in itself. I started both Cardboard Icons and Mike Oz, even though they don't like to admit it, but I've kind of been, you know, I was Mike's probably, I was your first editor, right? Like, first real editor, Mike?
Yeah.
I was his first real editor. When blogs started to kind of become a thing, I grabbed both these guys and we started this little fantasy baseball blog that never took off, but it did take off Cardboard Icons, so I'm going to pat myself on the back as well. That guy does do great work for his stuff. I do a wrestling podcast, a pro wrestling podcast, mostly talk about WWE and New Japan, and the podcast is called Muda Scale. And you can find us on iTunes, of course, and the website is mudascale.podbean.com. There's a .podbean.com because I don't have enough money to buy my own domain. So hopefully that changes, but we'll go from there. So
hey, man, we're at Podbean, too. Ain't no shame in it. And follow both of them on Twitter, at Cardboard Icons and at Bad News Ramen. And me and Chris also, at Mike Oss, at Chris_Swick. And let us know who else you would nominate for the Video Game Baseball Hall of Fame, and we will take them under consideration And if you're going to bring a bases loaded person, I guess the headline from today is you better come and you better have your facts.
Yeah, and you better not paste them on the wall like that.
Nice.
Oh, hey, yeah, it's pretty weak, but hey, I can still get by it.
Hey, thank you guys for being here. We enjoyed this, and we'll hopefully have you guys on again real soon.
All right, there you have it. The best video game baseball players of all time, the players we would send to the Hall of Fame. Mike, you had some good opinions. I give you credit for bringing up the topic. That was fun.
Paste forever, guys. Paste forever.
And I'm glad I got to take it into more recent games. I wanted to take you off the rails a little bit.
Hey, man, do what you got to do. I'm all for a curveball. I think that's okay. I need to play some more video games, though. That's what I'm left with after this whole discussion and the prep for it. I'm like, man, I need to play. And even if it's, you know, the newer games, I just feel like I felt the need to play a baseball video game. So I may have to do that this weekend.
Yeah, I started getting a little antsy, too. Just thinking about the nostalgia and all that, I wanted to fire up some of my old systems and get it going.
That's a decent segue to how I want to end this week. You know, we talk about all kinds of things here on the podcast. Obviously, we talked about video games. Last week, we talked about sneakers. So I think that both of us have a little bit of interest beyond just, you know, talking about baseball and baseball players and stats and stuff. I think we have a little bit of a pop culture sensibility to us. So I was thinking, Chris, let's talk about some things that we are just in love with right now. What are we digging? What are we into? What are we paying attention to? Or what's entertaining us when we are not watching or thinking or tweeting about baseball? And I will start it off by saying I think that Silicon Valley is killing it on HBO. That is like my favorite show right now. It's one of those shows that, you know, those HBO half-hour shows, man, they're only like 20 minutes really. And they hook you in and they get you going. And before you know it, it's over and you're like, oh man, that was so good. I loved every minute of it. And I can't wait till next week when it's on again and you find yourself, you know, just thinking about it when things come up in life. You're like, oh, that reminds me of whatever. And it is definitely established that. So shout out to Silicon Valley on HBO, which is absolutely killing it.
I also enjoy Silicon Valley, but I am going to take another HBO half-hour show. That's Veep. My wife and I have been kind of binge-watching it. We're on the third season right now. And I find that lately I've enjoyed it a little more than Silicon Valley. Both shows that we watch, but I'm hoping to catch up on Veep before the end of this season. And I've just really enjoyed that. Everybody's so mean, so that's probably why I like it so much.
My wife watches it. I've never watched it.
So I've
watched it in the background. I mean, I've seen a little bit here and there, but I've never like sat down and totally watched it. But she likes it too. Also, on the music side, I listen to a lot of music. Not only do I do, like, you know, a radio show, but it's just part of my day. I'm writing, I listen to music. So my favorite album right now is the A$AP Rocky, his new album, which just sounds like it came out of, like, the 1960s. It was like in a time capsule, like a hip-hop time capsule. And it's kind of psychedelic-y. It's like psychedelic rap almost. It's called At Long Last, A$AP, and it's just some really good stuff. So that's my album of the moment.
All right. So earlier we were talking about old nostalgic video games. Just coincidentally, I started playing one before we recorded the baseball segment, the baseball video game segment. Started playing Super Mario RPG again. I've never beat it. I've played it in the past. I'm going to try and beat it. That's kind of just, I don't know.
That is some nerd stuff right
something
there.
Something I've been into, man.
That is some nerd life right there.
Hey, it's supposed to be a great game. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to accomplish something in my life. It's going to be beating this old video game.
Sheesh. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us on the Stew Pod. We're going to be back next week. We're in the process of lining up our next guest. And if it goes the way I'm hoping, I think you guys are going to like it. So thanks for being here. Subscribe on iTunes if you have not yet. We are on iTunes. If you want to leave a review or whatever, that's great. But subscribe, tell your friends, and all those wonderful things.
Yeah, I'm not above shameless promotion. Give us some good reviews, etc. Or I guess, I don't know, let us know how much you hate us. Either way, do something.
paste for life. This has been the Stew Pod. Peace.